Welcome back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively into the winter here, and first off, I want to give thanks to all of our sponsors all across the board, Planet Fitness, our friends at Royal Farms, Pizza John's, our dear friends at Liberty Pure. I got the hat on right now, taking care of all your plumbing and clean water needs, and our friends at Faithly, shipping those crab cakes all over the United States of America, even in the dead of winter. Can't wait to get back over to Lexington Market, bring some fresh fish home, and they are opening a new location in Catonsville. Speaking of Catonsville and my partner Don Moeller, can't wait to get back to State Fair. I'm waiting for that March, April, nice weather, get the top off the tent, some outdoor dining over in Catonsville, as well as in El Guapo, where they're serving some delicious tequila drinks and some mole. I got to get over there, get some tacos, and bring those home and curbside those as well. Don, we got one election down, another. It's always election season, right, for anyone running for office.
Always election season. While we're talking about our sponsors, we want to thank Jeff Moeller, Moeller and Gary Realtor. I know, Nestor, you and Jeff have been talking house. You're kicking those tires again. So
he said that there are no houses on the market. He needs mine. I'm like, all right, you can have mine. We'll put it on the market.
I think there's an all-time low inventory. It is our pleasure to welcome the mayor of Bowie, Maryland, Mayor Tim Adams, elected November 2019, if I've got my facts right. Is that correct, Mr. Mayor?
That's correct. Correct.
Welcome.
November of 2019.
Welcome to Baltimore Positive. Mr. Mayor, why don't you start? We're going to have you talk a little bit about Bowie, because I think all folks know about Bowie more often than not is that the Bay Sox play there, and they love to go down and watch the Bay Sox. But before you tell us about Bowie, tell us about Mayor Tim Adams and who he is and how he got to this point where his – I know you're an entrepreneur. I know you come to this public service thing after a successful career as an entrepreneur. So introduce our audience to you a little bit.
Okay. And just to give you I was born in New Orleans, Louisiana, naturally New Orleans. I was raised there. I went to undergraduate school at Xavier University in New Orleans and did a co-op as a chemist for U.S. Customs and realized at that time I didn't want to spend the rest of my life in the lab. It was a good experience. From there, I decided to get my MBA and look into business. I got my MBA from the University of New Orleans, which I'm very proud to say last year I was celebrated as the Distinguished Alumni of the Year for the university. And coming from that deep South and having that happen was really an honor.
That was in 2020. You didn't get to celebrate then, right?
No, we did it virtually, but we're going to celebrate it this year. So,
yeah, we're losing some audio on you. We'll try to organize that. For you, at this point in running for public office and coming from another place, that's a sort of an interesting thought here in Bowie. Why Bowie? Why'd you land in Bowie?
Well, you know, I met my wife while I started my business out in California, and I used to come back here. I'm a defense contractor, and I was fortunate to have somebody take me under their wing and teach me weapon systems. And from there, not knowing any better, I thought it was okay for a young black man to just start his own defense contracting company. Went on and did it, and now I'm one of the largest black-owned businesses in the nation. And so I'm very fortunate with that. I met my wife on some trips coming back here to the nation's capital, i.e. Crystal City and the Pentagon. Fell in love and made the best decision ever, and that was to come back here and live. My wife posed it to me. I was living bi-coastal at first, and she said, you have a choice. You can either get me appointed as a judge in California, or you need to move back here and be with me. And so I made the right choice and moved back here. And I've been living here in Bowie going on 26 years now.
What's not to like about Bowie? It's interesting, Mr. Mayor. Tell folks a little bit about Bowie because, I drive through it, know the Bay Sox.
I used to go to the track.
Used to head down to St. Mary's College and go past Bowie. But almost 60,000 people. I was really impressed by someone who looks at this data from time to time, the median income and the median housing prices. I mean, it's a very successful subdivision in the state of Maryland, is it not?
Yes, it is. And, you know, we are, for example, the largest city in the Prince George's County, but we're also one of the largest cities in the state of Maryland. And we've been very resilient. When you look at how we've done with our high housing and other things, like many places, we're all suffering through this pandemic right now. But, you know, we have a great sense of diversity here in the city, and I'm very proud of that. And we have an opportunity where, you know, we continue to do things that some would label as progressive, but I think they're just the right things to do for a growing city. We have a great city staff and personnel. So, and I think that the most important thing is the citizens. You know, we have so much volunteerism by our citizens and all that. And I think that just helps make the city a great place.
So in the midst of all this, Mr. Mayor, clarify for me, I've seen that you're taking a look at this controller's race. Are you still kicking the tires, or have you made a decision that you're in, or are you still in that exploratory phase?
I think I've kicked the tires enough at this point. I will probably be making my formal announcement next month, coming up soon. It's that time.
Well, so, public service. I was going to say public service and being involved in it when you have a successful business. I don't need to tell you, government runs a lot differently, right? And you've been sort of quasi government at various points. I guess federal government on a local municipality. The notion that you wanted to do this at this point in your life, just to run for public service of any kind.
Yeah, you know, and that goes back to I believe we all have an obligation to give back to our communities. You know, I believe when I ran for mayor, to be very candid, it was not something that was on my radar that I was looking to do. And as I was telling someone a little earlier, I just got a call from my son one evening saying, "Dad, you need to get home. There's a house full of people here." I got home and there was members from all spectrums of our community here in Bowie asking me to run for mayor. They just thought that I was a fair broker, that I believed in transparency, and that I had the experience to be able to move the city in the right direction. And so they asked me to run. I considered it. I got permission from my wife, and I ran. And that's how I ended up there. But I believe we all have that obligation to give back. And for me, I've been very blessed in my life, very fortunate. My business has grown to one of the largest minority-owned businesses in the country. And this was an opportunity for me to give back. You know, and I think when it comes to the comptroller's race, my public and private sector work has really prepared me for this moment. You know, and I am just seeking and to do this now on a larger scale. You know, that's that giving back and supporting our communities. The comptroller's office just gives me an opportunity to do that on a larger scale. And that's what I'm looking forward to doing.
Mayor, what would you say to folks who would say, geez, we just elected Tim Adams mayor and he's just sort of getting comfortable in that seat. Why does he want to jump to something else before he's been able to put his vision in place in Bowie? What would you say to those folks?
Well, I think one of the things that we have to understand is it goes back to that service. And I've been contributing to my communities, not only here, but across the country for decades now. So being in this position of service and understanding government and those kind of things aren't just real new to me. That's not just something that I just started to do. But the reality is also the comptroller seat is becoming vacant. With Peter Franchot running for governor, it's open. And so that's an opportunity for me to really commit to helping not only the citizens of Bowie, which I can do on a larger scale, and Prince George's, but the state as a whole. So it still falls in line with service. And it gives me an opportunity to be a servant to many more than just our local community. And I think my community supports that, and they understand. This opportunity just happens to come along. We know that it won't be there forever, and it's just taking a moment to say, okay, here's that chance to really serve our community as a whole. And when I say our community as a whole, the entire state.
Now for years, the control of Maryland's beverage industry, alcohol industry, fell under the controller of the state of Maryland. As of, I think it was 2019, the General Assembly stripped the controller of that power, and that power now falls to a five-member commission. Are you comfortable with that change at the state level, or is that something that you would look to influence and try to move that responsibility back to the controller's office?
Well, you know, I look at that and I think the controller's office, I believe, did a relatively good job with that. I believe that it's important that that liquor board issue be something that the Board of Public Works has a look at. See, because that's also a part of making sure that things are fair and there's a transparency. You know, I understand that it's moved there, and that's not to say that, you know, every one of the board members aren't trying to do the right thing and those kind of things. But I'm not sure it was moved for the right reasons. I'm not sure it wasn't moved more about political than it was about the actual performance and handling of it. And so I don't think we should use our political influences or make changes just on political stakes and issues with individuals because they may not have liked Peter or one of those things. I think it should be done about what's best for the citizens.
Well, what do you see then, Mayor? Let's maybe go to 10,000 feet. We'll come back to some of the alcohol issues. I know there's a proposal to increase the alcohol tax. But before we get back into some of those beverage issues, what do you see as the role of the controller? Educate. Nestor always likes to talk about this as a civics class. Tell folks who are listening what the controller does and what you think the controller ought to be doing and why it's important.
I think one of the important things we have to understand is he's our chief financial officer, so to speak. I think a lot of times people get very caught up in just the taxes themselves. And but there are so many other areas where the controller has insight and influence. And I think the one thing I talk to people more about than anything else, and that's the Board of Public Works. You see, and we just have to be candid, and I always be very candid about it, is, you know, we need to, number one, make sure that there's an accountability for everyone when it comes to our taxes. You know, there's three things we want to do, and that's make sure we make sure that our taxpayers are protected, that our tax system is fair, you know, and that we hold everyone accountable. And that's the key to that. So with the Board of Public Works, so when it comes to the contracts that are awarded, you know, the Board of Public Works has the vote on most of those contracts and those things done. And so that's so important. And, you know, when we talk about inclusion and equity and all of those things that have come to light of late and being fair to everyone, you know, that's where the Board of Public Works come in. We can make sure that our small businesses, our minority businesses, our women-owned businesses have a shot on the playing field that they maybe had not before. We all know that as we increase competition, you typically lower price, you usually get greater technology and innovation, and those are the kind of things we want to see because we want to move Maryland forward. You know, when we start talking about what's going on with education in the state and other things, we know that every student, be it Montgomery County, the Eastern Shore, Baltimore City, every one of our kids needs to have a great education.
Were you pro Kerwin? Where were you on Kerwin the last year?
I was pro Kerwin. And that's just, I believe education is such a key.
Well, the Board of Public Works, educate, Mayor, we throw these terms around. And we forget not everybody is familiar with terms in Annapolis. Board of Public Works is consist of the governor, the treasurer, and the controller. It's really a panel of three that has oversight on every state capital project, right, and contract that comes through there.
That's right. And the key about that is what I believe, and you were just touching on some of the other things that were removed. I think it's important that the Board of Public Works, and a lot of times the swing vote is the comptroller, what's going on. And so it's important because that's where the decisions are made on the contracts that are awarded. And, you know, one of the things that I found is, you know, I bring not only from the public sector view, but from the private sector. And I understand about making sure that things are fair to a lot of the smaller businesses and all, particularly subcontractors, and making sure they get their fair share and make sure that they get the opportunities that they're promised. And so, yeah, the Board of Public Works is the final word on that. And I think there's a good sense of transparency that comes from that, because that gives all of our citizens a chance to take a look and see. And I'm very, very big on transparency, because I think that's the key.
Bowie Mayor Tim Adams joining us here, along with former Baltimore County Executive Don Mohler. I am Nestor Aparicio. We are discussing the future of the state and controller and another election that's going ahead. And I get these decisions are all being made right now. Let's bring it back down onto the playing field right now for your citizens and all the citizens, not just in PG County, but throughout the state. The vaccine and where we are with the vaccine. Over the course of the last 12 months, give us a little bit of the arc of how it's affected your job. It's sort of a new job. You are new to this and running businesses, but this has affected business, affected everything. Now we're at the vaccine point where we had Dr. Gregory Branch on. We encourage everybody to go out to Baltimore Positive and check that out from Baltimore County, talking about how we're all going to get this shot in our arm and where the confidence level of your constituents, quite frankly, and in lining up to get this done in the next couple months.
Yeah, and that's an interesting thing because, you know, what I've tried to do is I put on several town halls, as you may know, talking about COVID. And the last one I did was I brought in some experts to talk about the vaccine itself. Look, we can't make people overall take the shot, but what we can do is provide them with information that will help them make a good decision, an informed choice. You know, in some of our communities, the black and brown communities, because some of the past things that have gone on, as you know, like the Tuskegee experiment and all, there are those who are still reluctant to do it. And so what we've tried to do is just show them that this is good science and we need to do it. We've had some challenges, let's be candid, from our past administration on how we've addressed this whole pandemic and making sure and lining up and setting up the shots. So right now, we're trying to move forward. We've got to work with the state to continue to try and do that. We're trying to make sure that we look at what opportunities we have, not only from what we can do with our healthcare systems and others, but bringing in some of the other partners in our community to help encourage people and get those shots out.
Mayor, before we let you run, I want to jump back to the alcohol thing a little bit, because it seems to me that every session, this particular issue rears its head in some shape or form. And that's the issue of the ability to sell beer and wine either at convenience stores or supermarkets. I think now there's a bill in the General Assembly that would allow convenience stores. That would mean like Wawa's and 7-Eleven. I think it has a 15,000 square foot
limit. We call it Royal Farms around here.
Royal Farms. Right. Royal Farms. But it wouldn't allow the grocery stores, the Giants and the Food Lions and the Marses, for example, to do it. I think Prince George's County has another bill that would allow supermarkets to sell. Where do you come down on that whole issue, sort of the yin and yang between the local liquor store owner and those who think this would provide more convenience for consumers?
I think with the beer and wine sales, I believe they should be allowed in the stores. And the reason, now understand, I have a unique background coming from New Orleans, where my entire life I've seen that. So that's the thing. But I believe that it would give our citizens an opportunity, if it's sold there, to really have a choice, to be able to go to the place and for convenience. I don't think it will. Some have talked about putting our smaller liquor stores and package stores out of business, but I don't believe so. I believe the good ones will still have an opportunity, you know, to provide, you know, the craft brewery kind of special brews. They'll still have to go there for other spirits. They'll also go there and probably look for insight and education on what pairs best with this meal and that. So I don't think it will put them out of business. I think people will still have to go there. And I think our good ones, the ones that are really able to address the customers and provide good customer service will be fine.
Now, I know as the chief tax collector, you'd be very interested in revenue. There's a proposal to increase the liquor tax from 9% to 10%. Where do you fall down on that? Is it time to do that? It hasn't been raised in a while.
You know, and I look at that, and it's sort of like the old, what they used to call a sin tax, where it would be liquor and cigarettes and different things. I do believe that we need to take a look at where we are financially. That's a fiscal question, one in which, and I don't have the insight right now. I'd like to take a look at that and see. The other thing that I would throw out along those lines as we're talking about the liquor home, I think Montgomery County needs to get out of the liquor business. You know, I think one of the...
Well, tell folks who may not be from Montgomery County what that issue is and why you feel that way.
Well, because what it is they end up having almost like a board that regulates and establishes the liquor and all of the things that goes on with that. And I think there are three things that I will just say, because I know our time is getting short, but you got to look at is, you know, we really need to make sure that we by doing it that way, we lack choice. You know, I think if you bring in competition and allow people to do that, I think it will increase the choice that the citizens in Montgomery have. I think it would improve service. I think there may be some who feels there's a lack of service, but again, with that competition, you get that. And then most importantly, by continuing to do it this way, you end up with higher prices because you have an added bureaucracy on top of it. So I believe that the citizens of Montgomery are ready for them to get out of that business and allow competition to come in and support.
Mayor, we appreciate the visit. We wish you luck on your journey into this controller race. We're going to be talking to a lot of the candidates. We're going to be talking to the candidates up in one as well before it's all over. Heather Mazur is going to be joining us in the coming weeks as well. But when we get down to Bowie, I'm going to honk the horn. My man Gary Kendall ran the baseball team down there for a long time.
All right.
So he's one of my lifer friends, Gary Kendall. So, you know, good news for Bowie that baseball hopefully coming back. And, you know, I'm sure social distancing and folks want to get out and have a cocktail and a hot dog and watch a ball game. If we get down to Bowie, we'll honk the horn and say hello, okay?
And I got to say two things real quick. Number one is we're glad that they continue to have the Bay Sox here, you know, as they did it. And I talked with the general manager and all, and that's a big plus. So we're looking forward to having the Bay Sox here and continuing to have them here. And secondly, one thing I would say is that I would like to see the Board of Public Works take back over the oversight of school construction programs. I think that's key. I think that's something we need to look at and discuss further. But I believe that's a true sense of transparency where parents and others can have a chance to give some insight and see what's going on and make sure the money is being spent wisely.
So, Mr. Mayor, that's a topic for you and I on another day as someone who was directly involved and not very happy with the way that was going under Governor Hogan and Comptroller Francho. We'd have to have that discussion. I think what you're suggesting is maybe with some new players down there, it would be appropriate to do so again. It did not work out for some of us over the years.
And that's the key. It's about the new transparency. And it's about having new fresh blood and people bringing new ideas and concepts on how we do business, i.e. and how we support the citizens of the state. Hey, thank you so very much for giving me the
appreciate
opportunity
it.
To talk with
you. You thank got you, it. Bowie Mayor, Tim Adams joining us here, running for controller, we think, he thinks. And we're going to be continuing to look at all of the elected officials, all the folks running for office, and continuing having these kinds of conversations. On behalf of former Baltimore County Executive Don Moeller, I am Nestor Aparicio. We are WNST.net, AM 1570. We never stop talking. Baltimore and Maryland, positive.